Blog Talk Radio.
Sharon Live. I am your host, Sharon Bennett. You're so delighted that you decided to join us today here on Sharon Live. And I got a great show lined up for you today. And I say it all the time to all my faithful listeners. Oh, you are the best. Oh, I just love, love, love you. Thank you so much for your encouragement, for your support, for your comments. Thank you. And to all my new listeners, thank you so much for joining us today. And just want to remind you, if you've missed any of our archive shows, please feel free to go to our website, www.markandpulpit.com or sharonbennettlive.com, where you can listen to our archive shows. And also, just want to remind you that if you have a question or comment, you can dial in 215-383-3872. Just push option 1 and you will be put into the queue for questions. And I also want to remind you, too, that if you are a business or you are an organization, want us to know about your programming or special programs, again, you can just go to both our websites and we'll be happy to let our listeners know all about it. Well, we're not going to take a lot of time this morning on introductions because I have a lot I want to share with you. For those of you who have been listening every week, you know we are in a series right now, Preparing for the Unexpected. And last week we did a lot of discussion about caring for the caregiver. Well, today I am going to share with you a topic that you may or may not be familiar with. And here on the Marketing Pulpit, of course, you know our mission is to build strong businesses so that we can put people to work. And we do our best to do that by bringing programming as it relates to sales, branding. It could be pricing, media buying, internet, social media, music, whatever it is. We have awesome artists that have come on the show. We have those who are very experienced in various areas. Because we want you to be successful. We want you to be profitable. And if you are a CEO, if you're a business owner, if you're a minister, if you're a leader of an organization, these topics are designed especially for you. And we also have seniors that are listening. We have stay-at-home moms. Listen, we love you too. We also have some great programming that relates to you as well. So today is not going to be any different. And I have my co-host there is Ira Lake. You know he's with me all the time. And, oh, we just love having him on the show. He is not on the show with us today because he had some other events that he had to take care of today. As you know, he's very busy in the community. And also, for those of you who don't know, I'm so excited about it, he is going to be on a reality show. Yes, he is. Listen, I'm so excited about it. I really, really am. So stay tuned for that. We're going to be giving you more information on that. And before we dive in today, just want to give you a review. As you know, we talked about caregivers, caring for the caregiver. That was excellent. Therapist and I kind of really went through that. And if you missed that, again, go to our archive shows, Caring for the Caregiver, because so many times you have to be on your best behavior. You have to be physically fit in order to deal with loved ones or those that you have to take care of unexpectedly. And we talked about making sure that you don't forget to take care of yourself. Well, you're probably wondering, well, how does that relate to business? How does that relate to me as a leader? How does that relate to me as the head of my household? How does that relate to me? Well, it relates this way. We say it all the time. If a person isn't healthy, if a person isn't physically, mentally healthy, then when they come to work, they are not going to be as productive as they can be. And, of course, as a CEO, COO, I know how important it is for us to have our community healthy. So that's one of the reasons that we are doing this topic, preparing for the unexpected. And many times, and I'm going to say it, I'm just going to say it because it's so true, leaders within the faith community sometimes overlook topics that are so important to them being successful as well, and businesses, whether they're small businesses or large businesses. And the topic that we're going to be dealing with today, you may or may not recognize this or the symptoms within your parishioners or your employees. This is one of the most undetected and perhaps unrecognizable issues in the workplace, and I said it, and I mean it, and when we come back, we are going to dive into this topic. If you know what it is, send me a note. I'll tell you if you're right or wrong right here on Sharing Live, the Marketing Toolkit.
You're listening to Johnny Lee with the KeithAtWork.org organization and the E-Panic Button. And we're here with Sharon Bennett on the Marketing Pulpit.
That's right. We are listening to Sharon live here on the Marketing Pulpit. What is this topic that I'm talking about? What is the topic that I'm talking about today? Well, believe it or not, one of the most undetected and perhaps one of the most unrecognizable issues in the workplace and in the faith community, meaning the church, is going to surprise you. Every year, about 42.5 million American adults suffer from this. Send me a note. I got a gift for you. But listen. Approximately 9.3 million adults experience this condition during their day-to-day activity while they are going to work, while they are at church. Believe it or not, and I thought this was really interesting. And I'm going to share with you what it is, and I'm waiting to see if you want to guess it. If you guess it, I'm looking at it. I don't see, I know some of these, they're not right. You're not right, but that's okay. If you tried, that's great. That's okay. I'm going to share with you, but surprisingly, the state of New Jersey has the lowest national rate of this condition. Okay, I'll go ahead and tell you what it is. Today we're going to be talking about preparing for the unexpected, mental preparation, mental breakdowns. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And I have a special guest, and I'm hoping he's able to tune in today. Therapist, are you in with us today, Derek?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Therapist Davis is joining us today. And I shared with a therapist what we were talking about today. He is filling in for my partner in crime, Therapist Ira Lake. Therapist, we miss you. Derek, thank you so much for joining us today. We are going to be talking about mental breakdown. And I know you're wondering, these topics that I come up with, I know you're saying, you know what, she comes up with some very interesting topics. Yes, this is an interesting topic. And therapist, the reason I want to talk to my listeners today, especially those who are in managerial positions, administrative positions, if you're CEO, COO, you need to be aware of this because, once again, the purpose that we're here is to build strong businesses. And if your employees, if your parishioners, if your members are not healthy, they are not going to be as productive as they can be. Therapists, in your opinion, and I share with the listeners that this is probably one of the most undetected mental challenges or illnesses. And some people don't think it's an illness, but do you agree that this is probably one of the most undetected things in businesses and in the faith community?
Yes, absolutely. I think a lot of times we tend to focus more on the physical signs and physical conditions, but and therefore we ignore a lot of the mental health problems.
Well, you know, when I was doing some research on this, I was really surprised as to how many people actually suffer from this. And I wanted to break it down because mental illness, of course, is huge, and you work in this every day. But I want to break it down to mental breakdown because I think people have a stigma as it relates to mental breakdown. But believe it or not, some of the symptoms of a mental breakdown are very similar to something else. And I'm going to run down these symptoms, and you think about it, and tell me if you recognize what this could also be a symptom of. Sleep interruption, not able to sleep, insomnia, diarrhea, constipation, breathing problems, migraine headaches, memory loss, exhaustion, fatigue, feelings of anxiety, your appetite changes, you eat too little or you eat too much, you feel like you're depressed, you have feelings of guilt, you're not able to stop crying, you see people who as irritations and interrupting you all the time. You have flashbacks. What does this sound like? I'm going to tell you what it sounds like to me. And therapist, you tell me if I'm right or wrong here. But this really sounds like symptoms of stress. Are a lot of those stress symptoms?
Yes, absolutely. I guess clinical definition of a breakdown would actually be when your stress level reaches a point where you're unable to function in a normal capacity day to day. So you're absolutely correct when you mention stress.
So the reason I bring this up, and again, especially to those who are in leadership roles, or if you're a parent, or if you are a CEO, if you're a minister, if you're in some type of leadership position in a faith, a community of faith, I bring this up because, Therapist Davis, I do think that lots of times as managers, as leaders, we are looking at people, we're looking at them thinking, oh, they're just stressed, they're going through a hard situation right now, and they're just stressed, and they could actually be experiencing the beginnings of a mental breakdown. Is that correct?
It is. And, you know, stress is a normal reaction, but everybody responds to stress differently. So as a leader or as a parishioner, we have to be careful to not just prejudge someone based on how we may handle stress in our lives.
Okay, now when you are, when we talk about in your profession, what have you seen as some of the causes or reasons for, and we say mental breakdown or nervous breakdowns, and I want to make sure that I make this perfectly clear. Nervous breakdowns, it happens with male, female, children, teenagers, senior citizens, pastors. It happens with anybody. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. If you don't recognize the symptoms, you could very well be having a nervous breakdown. But what do you find are some of the causes for nervous breakdowns, especially in the workforce?
Okay, well, let me go back for just a minute. You mentioned earlier about the stigmatism. Just the label of breakdown can already cause some people to have apprehension about seeking help. But just some of the signs you mentioned earlier, you mentioned anger, you mentioned insomnia, you mentioned your sleep pattern could be off, you mentioned eating habits. you mentioned lack. It could be lack of focus. It could be very impatient. It could be a short temper. It could be, I mean, it could manifest in a lot of different ways. And a lot of times we just overlook it as, well, you know, I got a lot on my mind, or, you know, this is happening in with my family. And we don't really give it the attention that it needs, and we don't recognize the symptoms combined. We might recognize one symptom, but we don't put them together and really dive into, okay, what's really going on with me? I can't sleep. I'm short-tempered. I'm not eating right. What could that mean?
You know, I am so glad you said that, because what that brings to my mind is this statistic here. 1 in 5. There's some statistics, therapist, that says 1 in 4 Americans suffer from these types of challenges. And I love what you said about the stigma. Sometimes people think that, you know what, I'm not crazy. They think if you have a mental breakdown or a nervous breakdown, it means you're crazy, or that you're out of your mind, or that you're not normal. Well, share with us, as a licensed clinical therapist, share with us what your thoughts are, losing their minds or something wrong. Does it necessarily mean that? And when do we know it's time to possibly seek help?
Okay, thank you. Actually, I would say the very opposite. When you do reach that point, I would say that actually makes you normal, because just like everything in life, there's a certain limit of where we can take things. For instance, if you think about a bucket that's full of water, eventually the bucket is going to become full, it's going to become too heavy, and what's going to happen? It's either going to tilt over, or we're going to just have to sit it down. And when we think about mental issues, let's take the same analogy. There's only so much that a person's mind can hold. You mentioned the stress. You mentioned anxiety. And eventually what happens is your body has a way of reacting. Your body will shut down. And if your body shuts down, you're unable to function. So I would encourage people not to look at it as a negative, but looking at it as an opportunity to kind of repair yourself, because, again, we can only take so much. And if you're dealing with the loss of a parent, if you're dealing with stress of a new job, if you're dealing with the difficulties of raising a child as a single person, you know, everyone has a limit, and you have to understand when you reach your limit. And that limit depends on your experiences, but it also depends on your coping skills.
Well, you know, I love the fact that you mentioned, I mean, that was awesome, that means you're normal, because, one, you can, first of all, recognize that there's an issue and that you seek help. And I think the goal of this show today is I want the listeners to take away from today that you don't want to get to the point where you're just completely broken down. You can recognize symptoms that something's going wrong, and I may be able to avoid this. But not only that, but if you are in a leadership role, if you are a parent, and I keep saying it over and over because I want you to hear me, it is your responsibility to notice things. If you notice that, hey, my work is acting kind of strange, I'm coming in late, very withdrawn, instead of just walking by the person and not saying anything, as a leader, as the CEO, as the manager, it's okay to say something, therapist. Do you agree with that, that it's okay to say, hey, can we sit down and talk? Do you agree that it's okay to do that?
Yes, absolutely. Not only is it okay, but I think it's beneficial to the employee and the employer to kind of make sure that open communication is there.
Now, there's also something that we talked about on one of our previous shows, and I'm going to share that with you, that thought with you when we come back, some things that may be available to you as churches, to employers, to employees, to make sure that your workers, that your members are being taken care of. They come to work, they do their jobs, they try to be productive, your members come, they give their money. We are obligated to make sure that we are providing resources to them as well, so that challenge we're able to help them through those challenges. And when we come back, I'm going to share with you briefly one of the programs that we talked about right here on the Marketing Pulpit. I'm your host, Sharon Bennett, along with my co-host today, Therapist Davis. Right here.
You're listening to Johnny Lee with the KeithAtWork.org organization and the E-Panic Button. And we're here with Sharon Bennett on the Marketing Pulpit.
Just want to thank you so much again for tuning in to Sharon Live here today. We are talking about continuing our series, Preparing for the Unexpected. Preparing for the Unexpected. And today we're talking about nervous breakdown because it is not talked about enough. And so many people are actually experiencing nervous breakdowns and don't even know it. So I wanted to talk about it today. Now, when we left on the break just a minute ago, I shared with you that there are programs that are out there to assist when employees might just need to talk to someone and you may not be qualified or have the experience or the credentials to help them through certain situations. They're called EAPs, Employee Assistant Programs, and we actually went into detail about some of these programs on our previous show, and again, you can go to our archive shows. But therapists, you probably participated or maybe participated or know of these employee assistant programs, but it allows staff, it allows employees, employers, members of the faith community to call in and actually be connected to a licensed professional who can help walk them through some of these dilemmas. But as a therapist, when a person calls you, when a person says, you know what, I'm going through, how do you determine or what do you do to help them to determine if they are actually experiencing nervous breakdown, if they're in the middle of a nervous breakdown, or if they're right at the brink of having one? What are the tools that you use to assess that?
Well, typically when we, as clinicians, when we, or therapists, when we first meet with the individual, we do what's called an intake, and that's just basically trying to get a little bit of background information. If someone was to come in, you know, sharing information about, I think I'm having a nervous breakdown, first of all, we kind of try to get them to change their terminology. You know, breakdown means that you're broken. Breakdowns means that you can either be fixed or you can't. So first of all, we want to be a little more positive with our frame of mind and just, you know, maybe instead of saying breakdown, we want to say, you know, maybe you're just going through a situation right now. So secondly, we have a checklist of symptoms, and you mentioned quite a few of them earlier. And as the individual is talking about their experience, you know, we'll briefly check off the symptoms and then we'll maybe ask some questions about work, home, social life, relationships. And at that time, we would more than likely come up with the appropriate diagnosis. In this case, since we're talking about nervous breakdown, we wouldn't call it nervous breakdown because that's not actually a legitimate or medical term, but we would kind of focus more on the stress in their life.
Okay. Now, I also want my listeners to understand, too, and this is something that we say on most of the shows when we're talking about these kinds of things. One, when you go to a licensed clinician, lots of times therapists, people are concerned about if their information is kept in confidence. Many times people don't go seek help because they feel like they don't want people to think that they've lost control or that something is wrong. But I want to encourage anyone that's listening, and CEOs, managers, leaders, we have got to get better at helping people to understand it's okay if you're going through to ask for help. It's okay for men and women. It's nothing wrong with asking for help. And sometimes overwhelmed, if you're feeling totally overwhelmed, you're beginning to forget things. We've talked about the symptoms. We've talked about that already. It's okay to call and ask for help. And, of course, therapist Ira on the show, he always gives his information. And go to our website. You can get his information if you need to talk. But therapist, in your opinion, is it possible Is it possible, and I know this is a broad question, so let me try to preface it by saying, I know sometimes when you're dealing with those who come in, sometimes it is there are medical conditions or there may be physical conditions or psychological conditions that are causing people to come to you. But is it possible to minimize or reduce your stress levels so that you don't even get to that point of having, and I know you mentioned it's not a clinical term, but most laypersons understand it as having a nervous breakdown or breaking down and just not able to function. Is it possible to minimize your levels of stress so that it doesn't get to that point?
Absolutely. That's actually that's more of the I guess the self therapy you could do. To touch on what you mentioned, we also have to understand that just because you come see a therapist, just because you come see a counselor, does not mean that you are going to receive a diagnosis. So I think
okay.
we want to make sure that people understand, you know, just because you come in to see me in my office doesn't mean that I have to give you a diagnosis. Sometimes we just have life experiences that are going on and we're just going through something temporarily. So therefore, we don't always have to diagnose, but when it's appropriate, we do. But the self-care, getting the proper rest, being able to communicate with your loved ones what's going on, being able to go to your boss and sharing with your boss that, you know, I am going through something right now. You know, I'm not asking for a lesser workload, but I just ask that you be a little more patient with me or, you know, pay more attention to what I'm doing. I think we also have to understand hobbies, activities. I mentioned exercise. I mentioned, you know, being around those who really know us well, who can give us support, being more positive, optimistic when we're talking. There are a lot of things that we can kind of do to kind of treat ourselves and on the occasion, and it happens sometimes that those things are not able to benefit us. That's where you might want to actually go see a professional.
Okay. All right. And keep in mind, CEOs, leaders, and even employees, that if you do decide that, you know what, I need some time, I really need to kind of get things together, that the Family Medical Leave Act, FMLA, sometimes it does make that possible for you to take, and it depends on your employer, how many days or how many weeks you can take, but typically you do not need to necessarily let your boss know what your reason is. And the labor boards are doing their best to make sure that if people need time, that they're able to get that. So check into your employers or check with your human resource department to see if that is available for you. And therapists, I did like what you said about the fact that just because you go see a therapist doesn't mean that you have to get a diagnosis, because therapists, a lot of people are concerned about that, that if they go see a therapist, they're going to be what they call labeled, and that follows you for a very long time. It does follow you, but I think people should do whatever is necessary to become mentally and physically healthy. What are your thoughts about that?
Absolutely. You said the key word, whatever it takes. You know, your health mm-hmm. has to be the most important thing to you. Unfortunately, we would like to work at a agency or company where they're going to be more focused on our health, but sometimes we have to do it ourselves, and we have to be the best employee, we have to be the best parent, the best child, the best friend, the best church member that we can be, and in order to do that, we have to take care of ourselves, and if that means the exercise, if that means reducing your stress, if that means recognizing that, you know, I'm going through something where I need a little more help.
Right.
And
the fact is, all of us experience levels of stress. Most people go through bouts of depression. The thing of it is, sometimes we go through it so long and it becomes chronic, it becomes worse. But stress, therapists, it can be just a temporary thing, right? It's not something that necessarily will be there forever. So sometimes you can overcome the triggers or the symptoms that are right now. Is that right or no? Can it just
yes,
be a temporary
yes.
thing?
Yes, you're absolutely correct. A lot of times, you know, when it's a physical condition, if we sprain our arm or sprain our wrist or fracture our finger, we have a cast, we have a splint, we have it wrapped up. So people can visually see that we're experiencing something. But with mental issues, you know, it's very hard to notice or know that somebody is going through something. So a lot of times we just keep things to ourselves. Oh, I don't want anybody to know this. Or if they know that I'm feeling a little anxious or stressed, they're going to look at me differently. So we definitely have to do more education as far as it doesn't make you different. It doesn't make you broken. It doesn't make you a bad employee or a bad person. It makes you normal because as long as we live on this earth, we're going to experience stress. We're going to experience grief. We're going to experience happiness. We're going to experience loneliness. And how we manage all of those is the key.
Oh, I love it. Listeners, I hope you heard that. To all my listeners, we are talking about preparing for the unexpected. And sometimes you just snap or break down. You don't expect it. It just happens. And I want you to know, I'm going to reiterate what therapist said. You are normal. Those are normal things that take place. And if you're a CEO, if you're a manager, if you're a minister, if you are administration in a community of faith, you need to be aware that sometimes your members, your employees may be going through this, and you need to be caring and make sure that they are taken care of. I want to thank my co-host today, Therapist Davis, for filling in for Therapist Ira Lake today. It has been a pleasure. Thank you so much, Therapist Davis.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. And to all my listeners, joining us and tune in again next week when we will bring another topic that you might not have thought of right here on Jaren Live. And listen, my father used to tell me when I started my business years ago, if you want to be successful, surround yourself by people who are smarter than you are. And that's exactly what we did today. We had Therapist Davis online with us today. So thank you all for joining us and have a wonderful day. You've been listening to Sharon here on Sharon Live on the Marketing Pulpit.